I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for April 17, 2023 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanson?
Here.
Mr. Hanam?
Mr. Hanam has phoned in that he will arrive late.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Mr. Richardson is excused.
Ms. Stout?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
Five members of City Council are present, so our quorum does exist. Welcome to our guests this evening. I invite you to join us for our Pledge of Allegiance. But I, me, tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That takes us to additions to the agenda. I have no items to add this evening. Mr. Frye?
Do have to add the presentation. It needs to be added.
We will add that. We'll make that 4A presentation of Lucas County.
Active Transportation Plan.
Active Transportation Plan. Mr. Frye?
Nothing for me, Mr. Mayor.
Other members of City Council? Hearing none. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Miller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mr. Shaw?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended by adding item 4A?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and our agenda is approved for this evening. Agenda item 4 is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on April 3rd. Mr. Frye?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move approval of the meeting minutes from the council meeting of April 3rd, 2023, as submitted.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes of April 3rd as submitted. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're on to added agenda item 4A. We have Dan here from the Outdoor Sylvania Park System.
Greetings, Mr. Mayor, Council. Thank you for letting me stand before you this evening. In my role as project manager for the park, I've been assigned to a number of committees within the community, among them the Sylvania Bikeways Committee, Lucas County Sustainability Commission, and the TEMACOC Active Transportation Committee. As part of my work with the Active Transportation Committee, we've been working with Live Well Toledo, the YMCA, the Health Department, City of Toledo, and Lucas County to help develop a comprehensive and cohesive plan to try and roll out to all of the communities to try and get everyone on the same page with regard to active transportation. I have a brief PDF I'd like to go through with you guys tonight. I believe that Ms. Bigelow is going to provide you with a PDF of the full comprehensive plan, which totals, I believe, almost 90 pages.
97, yep.
97 pages, so we won't go through that whole thing tonight. I did want to let you guys know that the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners are slated for adoption of this plan tomorrow. There was going to be a press event involved, but that has now been pushed back into May. Additionally, other communities are looking to get on board with this, the City of Maumee and others. It's my wish that the City of Sylvania also consider formally adopting this plan through resolution. So if that's all right, I'd like to go through the presentation with you quickly. So any good program starts with an agenda, just like our meeting here tonight. Generating vision and goals, talking about what we've already got, establishing baselines, and then what ultimately do we want to do with the plan? So the scope of this project is pretty self-explanatory. Like I said, we want to get everyone on board with what is active transportation and then come together as a county and a region rather than just individual municipalities. So active transportation, you think of it, is not just pedestrian and biking, it also includes scooters, strollers, mobility assistance devices, stuff like that. Any way to get around basically where you're not riding in a car or on a motorcycle on the road. And it's important, right? Obviously, health benefits involved with it, but also environmental benefits. As an employee of the park, I think we can all respect that we are looking to reduce our emissions and be able to provide ourselves with a healthier lifestyle. In addition, active transportation does a number of other things. It does provide some equitability and equality for people in lower income areas to give them the ability to get around. So we got together as a group, obviously brainstormed a number of ideas. You know, what do we want to do with the plan? What do we like about it? What needs to change? But the highlights are we're trying to connect people and places. Okay? And we're trying to do it in a way without motor vehicles. We're trying to create safer situations for everyone who's going to be out on the roads and the sidewalks. So to do that, we're going to come up with proposed safe routes for people to cycle. We're going to advocate for more sidewalks in areas that don't have them. A great example would be along Central Avenue, where we have all of the shopping, but we don't really have good pedestrian or bike access to it. And then ongoing engagement. Additionally, adoption of a formal plan will help with funding in the future, where it will allow entities such as Outdoor Sylvania Community Parks to apply for funding, knowing that we have a comprehensive regional plan in place and that we're following it. That adds points to our grant applications and makes it more likely that we're going to receive the funding needed to help improve our infrastructure. So, originally started 2017, a number of people in the group started with participation in the Ohio Action Institute. And then over the course of the last 5 years, I joined in 2018 as part of the steering committee in the initial workshop on active transportation held by Tool Design Group. So we've been slowly and methodically working through this process, even if it was slightly delayed by COVID. Up to where we end up today, 2023. We've done assessment of everything that we've got. We've baselined all of the current transportation routes within Toledo and Lucas County. We've had our public engagement. We've conducted public surveys. And finally, we've gone out into the community seeking endorsements. And we have a number of those that when you look into the PDF, you'll see at the very end. And then finally, it's time for implementation. So we've got a good, cohesive plan together that was generated by community partners. So it wasn't just a couple of bike advocates that got together. We partnered with Lucas County Engineers Office and the Toledo Engineers Office, the Ability Center, just YMCA, the Health Department, Safe Routes to School. So a lot of people had input into this plan. This isn't something that was put together willy-nilly, but rather very thoughtfully and with a lot of time and effort put into it. So any good project has to have a vision. So we're looking forward, right? When we started this plan in 2018, we were looking ahead about 20 years. At this point, we're 17 years ahead, but where are we going to be with our transportation? What are the fuel costs going to be? What's the population going to look like in this area? How affordable are things going to be? We've seen costs skyrocket, and the cost of owning an automobile continues to rise. So making transit more affordable, more accessible to everyone is something that we're trying to consider with this. So goals. Health and safety, obviously. We want everyone out there, but we want to keep them safe. Equity, you know, the areas that don't have the infrastructure needed, we want to start to look at how we're going to put that in place. Sustainability, reduce emissions, improve the environment, and then livability. And this is kind of a big one that a lot of people don't focus on, but we really want to make this available to all users. So we think about the trail project that we're generating here in Sylvania as we extend the University Parks Trail outward. That's going to become a key component of the Safe Routes to School program by allowing neighborhoods south of Central access to Timberstone Junior High and Central Trail Elementary. You know, so having this common framework and these goals in place, allowing us to get the grant funding and being able to serve all of the residents of Lucas County and the region. So what we have currently is kind of a piecemeal structure in place. We have some places that have good sidewalks. We have some places that have wide shoulders on the road. We do have some bike lanes, especially here in Sylvania. But in terms of Lucas County, we suffer a little bit. We actually rank in the bottom 25% in Ohio. And for a major metropolitan area, that's a little bit embarrassing to me as a resident. We've had quite a few fatal crashes, including the one on Bancroft a few years back. So it's not like this is happening in other places in the city. This is happening close to us. So we actually took a stock of what all we have, all of the bike lanes, all of the trails that we've got, where do we need to put stuff, where is it existing, and where does it make sense to expand in the future. And then in addition to that, not only do we want to have, I heard you, not only do we want to have a plan going forward, but we want to be able to get that out educationally via programs to the end users, to the citizens of the community. So what's interesting, heavy areas of blue are areas that need improved infrastructure. And you can see in downtown Toledo and areas along the river here, areas that are typically maybe a little underserved are typically the lower economic areas of the city and the county. The areas of need tend to be the areas in the suburbs where we see a lot more people who already have access and are striving for more access. So this is where the equitability piece comes in, where we're trying to improve it, not just for us. We don't just want to build more trails out here in Sylvania, but we need to start connecting, you know, some of the areas where we're not able to go. That's what they're doing with stuff like the Chessie Trail downtown. And then as we start to interconnect all of the parks and stuff, that's going to provide a wider network for people to be able to get where they need to be without their vehicles. In terms of engagement, we had a number of monthly meetings between the committee, and it wasn't, like I said, just a bunch of bike fanatics that were getting together and doing it. Representatives of the parks, Metro Parks Toledo, as well as Outdoor Sylvania. We had representatives from local governments. City of Toledo was well represented. And Team ACOG, especially Lance Dasher, for those of you who don't know him, is such a wonderful resource. We're very lucky to have him, and he's been coordinating a lot of the work prior to this this effort here with the active transportation plan. We did get out, we engaged people at the parks, we engaged them at the farmers markets. We tried to get out and find out what does the citizenry want, you know, not just a bunch of people sitting behind desks looking at maps. So what are the critical areas? Why are they actually walking or biking? For a lot of people, it's a way to get from A to B, and it's their only way to get from A to B. It's not just people going out for a Sunday ride, enjoying nature, or trying to improve their, you know, their physical cardio. Next one. So when we took the surveys, what do we really need to improve walking? What do we need to improve bicycling? Those are the two main areas that tend to get focused on within active transportation. You have the most users there. And clearly, sidewalks and better maintained sidewalks and more signed bike routes and bike lanes are needed. And the connections, right? Connections is a huge piece because, you know, if you can't get from one part of the city to another, you know, how are you going to get from home to work or home to your doctor's office or home to your library. So we want to really be able to come up with a plan to get people around the area efficiently. We mapped out some of the areas where we've had not just interest, but existing facilities and known places where we have problems. And so we were able to work with interactive mapping that let all of the members of the committee get together and provide input as well as the public. Getting out in person and talking to them at some of the local events. So coming out of this, right, in terms of a plan, and you'll see this more in the full comprehensive PDF, we're looking for 47 miles of shared use paths. Things like the UP Trail, where you have both pedestrians, dog walkers, strollers, rollerbladers, cyclists. 5 miles of buffered or separated bike lanes. 21 more miles of just regular bike lanes. Potentially 11 miles of bike boulevards, where it's streets that have been strictly converted over for active transportation uses. And then 20 miles where we propose to widen the shoulders of roads just to provide additional access for walkers or cyclists. So our existing and planned bike network. So anything with a black line is something that's proposed, whether it's a bikeway or a trail, right? Anything in solid green without the black already exists. So you can see there's a lot planned, but we don't have as much existing yet. And this is where we kind of lag behind other major metropolitan cities. So we want people to be able to get around in an efficient and safe manner. So things that we would encourage to look at as part of a comprehensive plan, things like crosswalks, you know, and making it accessible for people with disabilities. So not only would you have the standard button to help you cross the street, but then you'd have audible signals as well. So trying to be inclusive. When you look at it, we want a comprehensive and unified design. So lighting, you know, raised crosswalks to help slow down the speed for cars coming through. Making sure that the sidewalks are wide enough. You know, in a lot of places, buildings and stuff encroach and you might have 2 feet. Certainly not enough for people to pass by. That's true a lot in certain areas of downtown Toledo. So what we're looking to come up with is a variety of programs and policies that are going to help improve the culture, right? Get people into this and get them involved. And the recommendations coming out of the plan, you know, consist of ways to do programming to help educate the public and get them more aware of not only of the opportunities that exist, but then how to safely and efficiently use what infrastructure is out there. And so we've come up with an entire list of stuff. I'm not going to read through this. But the next steps then are to come out, and we're looking for formal implementation and adoption. So as I mentioned prior to the start of the meeting, the City of Toledo tomorrow, as well as Lucas County Commissioners, will all be meeting and finalizing their adoption of this plan. The hope is that some of the neighboring member communities will also do this. It's my hope that the City of Sylvania will consider a formal adoption of this plan as well. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them at this time. I would also direct you guys to try and read the long document that's been provided. Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Marcellek?
I have one question on the Lucas County proposed bike network that you showed us.
Yes.
I know you spoke to this, but I'm not clear on the red line through that. It says AT at plan routes.
Active transportation?
Active transportation.
Yeah, so anything that isn't using a car or motorcycle.
So does that mean the red routes are not existing yet and you need to put them in? That's what I'm
saying. So those might be things where we are looking for either a dedicated bike lane, a wider shoulder, stuff like that, but some sort of an improvement to help people who aren't in a car get around.
Okay.
You know, it could be adding sidewalks, it could be, you know, any one of a number of measures.
The law director informs me that the appropriate way for us to endorse this plan is to have a resolution prepared for passage at our next meeting. I know you're just having a look at it. We're not asking you to vote on that tonight, but we would like at least a motion to prepare that resolution.
I move to that administration prepare a resolution to recommend and support the Lucas County Active Transportation Plan.
Second. Any further discussion or questions for Mr. Marcello? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council.
2 weeks from tonight, we'll have a resolution here. You do not need to come that night, but if we have any questions, we'll get back to you. I'd also like to add, Mr. Marcellek is the chair of our sister city commission at the current time.
Thank you.
And
travels with us to Woodstock and helps organize quite a bit. So thank you for taking your evening to be with us tonight.
Thank you, guys.
There's no need for you to stay.
Okay.
You're welcome to stay.
I'm probably the longest part in the meeting, so I expect the rest will be efficient.
There's a couple things here that might ask a few questions.
All right. We're now ready to move on to agenda item 5. This is proposed ordinance 74-2019 to authorize the city into an agreement with the Ohio Attorney General for collection of unpaid income tax. During discussion 2 weeks ago, you authorized this legislation and you gave direction to the city administration to make it only effective for balances over $1,000. I had the finance director analyze that number for us. He's standing at the podium now. Thank you, Toby. I don't know if he shared these numbers with you, but I have them. Right now, the outstanding total delinquency in the city is $996,000. That's a lot of money. If we go after the balances that are $1,000 or more, that's $795,000, or about 80% of it. I think that's a real good place to start. To take that down to $100, the delinquencies between $100 and $1,000 is $176,000, which is also a lot of money, but let's see how this relationship with the state of Ohio works over $1,000, and we'll get back to you with a report once you authorize it, and perhaps recommend that we go down farther. But let's start with the guidance that you gave 2 weeks ago, if that's acceptable to you. The other piece of that puzzle is balances under $100. That's about $25,000 worth of delinquency. Those are the ones I've always been concerned about approaching. That could be a lot of college kids away from town or smaller balances. I think that would be the last place we'd start, though. We do send letters of delinquency to all delinquent taxpayers.
Anything over $10.
That's good. I think it's important that we begin this process. I think the state of Ohio will bring some of these dollars in. Certainly don't expect $795,000 to come in, but I think we'll get some response on this one. Anything else you'd like to add, Toby?
No, Mayor, thank you. I don't have anything else to add.
Toby and I have discussed this at length. I was surprised that the $1,000 floor that you put on it would collect 80% of the outstanding taxes. That means if you start at $1,000, if you work the math the other way, that's a $67,000 annual income to owe $1,000 at 1.5% income tax. Now, it is cumulative over years. Most people, wage earners that collect a paycheck, they automatically have the taxes deducted from their paychecks. What we're talking about here are building owners, self-employed people, and the like, and this will give us a chance to try to get those taxes collected as well. The law director did prepare for you ordinance 74-2019 to allow this agreement with the state of Ohio go into place, and as directed, it does not specifically list the $1,000 floor of the program, but that seems like a good place to start.
The agreement will not.
The agreement doesn't.
The agreement doesn't list.
The ordinance reflects the recommendation.
We're going to do that as a policy, as I understand.
Correct, yeah.
We will get back to you with the results. I don't know how long it will take, 6 months, a year, something like that.
I see.
All right, questions for the law director?
Toby, do we have any idea on the success rate of the state in collections?
Once we start getting into the agreement with the state, we'll get that information. They don't have anything out there posted. The tax commissioner did look for that. There wasn't anything specifically out there that we could use, because then you had asked me that earlier. But when we start putting the agreement together with them, we'll make sure we have that number, and then we'll report it to you.
Thank you.
Or wait till after tax season to listen.
We're busy. All right, then. We have ordinance 74-2019. If you're ready to proceed, Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 74-2019. And read by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with the Ohio Attorney General for the collection of unpaid income tax collection services. I move passage of ordinance number 74-2019 as an emergency measure.
Second.
I moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 74-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And ordinance 74-2019 is enacted as an emergency measure. All right, agenda item 6 is also an item discussed at the Finance Committee 2 weeks ago. I'm going to let you or the law director address this one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, this is what we discussed at the Finance Committee meeting. This is a reporting issue. Currently, we require residential landlords to report to us their tenants. This legislation adds commercial landlords also will need to report to us. We changed it to a monthly to twice a year. And then we've changed the penalty, and you might want to talk more about the penalty, to a civil offense.
Mm-hmm. That's consistent with what Dublin did. So it's $5 per month per tenant up to a maximum of $1,000. So
it's exactly what we talked about in the Finance Committee.
So, if I, just out of curiosity, I don't know what the twice a year is fine, but you have January 1st to June 1st, is there?
It should be.
Okay, I don't care, one way or the other.
Yes.
Twice a year, it doesn't matter to me. I just wasn't sure whether there was some reason it was June and not July.
No.
Okay.
No
reason. But, as I say, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other.
All right. We do have ordinance 101-2022 to enact this. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 101-2022 and read by title only. Amending the codified ordinances of the City of Sylvania 1979 as amended by amending section 171.22 landlord reporting. I move passage of ordinance number 101-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 101-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 101-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Thank you. Agenda item 7 is also a finance item. I'd like the law director to give us the update on where this one stands.
Thank you, Mayor. If you recall, 2 years ago, we entered, or council authorized us to enter into a memorandum of understanding with One Ohio for the first wave of national opioid settlements. NEMS was with McKesson, Amerisource, Bergen, and Cardinal Health. And based on the allocation to Ohio and then some formula that they came up with to allocate specifically to the city of Sylvania, we're supposed to get anywhere between $74,000 and $106,000 over a period of 18 years. And I think we've gotten $4,500.
And we just recently, in the last couple of months, we're up to about $6,000
okay.
total.
So that was for the first round of settlements. In November and December of last year, there were more settlement agreements reached with CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, and Allergan and Teva. Unfortunately, I have the total settlements are in the ordinance, but I don't have the city's allocation. I reached out to the Ohio Attorney General last week, and they just aren't complete yet, but the deadline to participate is tomorrow. So we have to approve it without really knowing what we're getting, but we're at least getting something, a small piece of the pie. Any questions?
Should we have to pass it in order to find out what's in it?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, we have to pass it to get
yes,
any of what's
to get
in it.
Yeah.
That was a good deal.
So we do have ordinance number 37, 2023 to do that. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 37, 2023 and read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into a subdivision participation forms with Teva, Allergan, CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart on behalf of the city of Sylvania, consistent with the terms of the National Opioid Settlement Agreements. I move passage of ordinance number 37, 2023 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 37, 2023 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 37, 2023 is enacted as an emergency measure. I don't ever remember having the first three ordinances of a meeting come from three separate years.
That's true.
A couple of them have been on the books for a while, but I think in my memory that's a first. All right, let's move on to agenda item 8. This is an easement requested by Columbia Gas. This is for a easement in the historic village, but I think my interest and probably some of council's is, how is Columbia Gas doing with the disruption they're causing?
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Obviously, you guys know how they're doing all the work downtown, replacing gas mains in a pretty large footprint. Before I get into the easement request, just provide you an update on that. All of the main is in. They do have one difficult crossing to do of Monroe Street. And we're going to tie that together with schools out of session. There's just too much going on in that area to do. But there will be one hiccup that we have in the summer to do a crossing of Monroe Street for their gas main. But pipe is in. They have all of the services in Summit. I did the residential subdivision at the North End, Country, Long, Park, those places. The services are in. Main Street is what's left to do. I believe they're starting up north and they're working their way down. So I'm hopeful a couple more weeks we'll really see this area die down, but that's how they're at with the project.
The construction activity die down.
Right. Specific to the easement, they have a couple of properties in this entire footprint that they have to get extended rights to obviously put their gas main on. They already have one here in the historical village. It's a 2-inch gas line that goes back there. It pretty much is following the same footprint, not quite. They got to have a little bit more space in there. So this is a new request to have an easement there. Like I said, it's going to follow pretty much the same footprint in the council packets. It does show a kind of a crude drawing. It doesn't have very good surface features on it, but we did take a measure internally to review the historical village's master plan just to make sure we weren't doing something that was going to cause a conflict later down the road. We all felt pretty comfortable with where this easement request was located. So our office to recommend approval of the easements presented.
So they're taking, we have an easement and Columbia Gas is putting in the gas line that goes back along the sidewalk in between those historical buildings. It's not a public right of way, that's why we need the easement.
Exactly.
Does that mean those buildings have individual services and individual meters?
I don't know that. I think they might.
Oh, no. You do not want that.
That's why I'm asking.
I don't know that.
But cost-wise, you do not want that.
No, they, from what I know, the meters have to be visible to the street. My guess is there may be one meter that you may visibly see and that can be.
From a billing standpoint, that would be much better.
Sure.
Yes.
We're dealing with that downtown, of course. Like, all these businesses have meters inside their buildings. Some of those, therefore, we're going to be a work in progress to see where those meters end up.
Maybe the only way to do it, but from a financial perspective, that's not, because it's like $30 a month whether you're using any gas or not for a small service like that. So it's not an inexpensive proposition for a small building because they get charged the same as probably this building is charged on a consumption basis for that same fee structure. So it's not immaterial when you start adding up on a unit cost basis.
I think the service department or the finance department ought to take a look at that and see what it is. But it does not affect this easement.
I did have one question on the easement, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
Joe, I think when I was looking at the drawing, this is for the record. I think I already know the answer to the question, but I'm going to ask anyways. The easement, it looks like it's just about touching some of the existing buildings. What is Columbia Gas's ability to build or install pipe inside that easement? Can they hit the center or are they coming, could they come closer to the building as long as it's in the easement?
They can. Most of this is by directional drill. So my guess is they'll probably stake it for the center of it and try to hit that as much as they can. Also, too, if you dig it in the center, it does give you the ability to have a little more flexibility in there. If you shove it all the way over to one side, you may have some spot to put dirt, but, you know, I think their goal is to put it in the center.
Okay. Mr. Shaw, we had a chance to talk about this earlier today, and I also talked with Andy, the director of Heritage Sylvania, and I wasn't a part of the earlier discussions you'd had with them about it, so I did a little catching up and making sure that this worked with the master plan, but I was pleased that when I looked at the plan as well, I couldn't spot anything where it seemed like it would conflict with it. The only thing I would think of is if they ever had wanted to move or expand the buildings themselves, but there's been no discussion or interest in that because we already have such great building stock there as examples. In the master plan, there's looks for improving the walkway that's there and the lighting and all of that's, well, the underside of the lighting isn't, so there'll be some coordination there, but all of that would still allow for the programming that Heritage Sylvania does throughout the year for thousands of students in the area, so that's great. And I think getting improved lines back there is always a wonderful thing to have some improved utilities. So I just wanted to say thank you for coordinating with Heritage Sylvania during this project. And I'm looking forward to having this kind of set before we get into the next exciting thing.
Thank you.
Joe, how does this affect their timing of their project?
Yeah, so it's taken, honestly, a while for this to come together. I got this at the end of January. We had several rounds of iterations of language changes and fixed this, and then there was a period of a month where they were unresponsive. It came back to light very quickly, like about 10 days ago. So they pretty much have all of the pipeline, and they're going to come back and remobilize as soon as this agreement is in place. So I would anticipate this work to happen. Actually, I'm not going to comment on what's going to happen, but they're authorized to do it as soon as the easement is in place. I don't know what when they're going to do. We've been coordinating, as Lindsay said, with the historical buildings. They have a lot of programs that go on through there, so we got to be a little touchy about when they finally get back in there and do it.
And that's where I was going.
Can we make sure it's not during the fall festival?
It will not be during the fall festival.
We'll still be able to put scarecrows on top of the easement, right?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that. You know, mobilizing equipment and staging and taking parking lot space, and which will naturally happen in something like this.
Thank you.
All right, we do have ordinance number 38-2023 prepared for this easement. Ms. Stock.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 38-2023 and read by title only. Authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to execute and deliver to Columbia Gas of Ohio Incorporated an easement agreement for utility purposes. I move passage of ordinance number 38-2023 as an emergency measure.
Second. Seconded for passage of ordinance number 38-2023 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 38-2023 is enacted as an emergency measure. Thank you. Agenda item 9 is to modify the existing agreement with Norfolk Southern Railroad Company for the Monroe Street Railroad Crossing as a part of the Monroe Street Improvement Project. It's a slight reduction in cost, but why don't you explain the changes to this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As your council packet shows, last July we were here to accomplish a major hurdle, which is agreeing to construct anything on railroad property, which is always a major challenge. So this was a big hurdle that we crossed in July. Later that year, Norfolk Southern had a litany of discussions. It's probably been going on longer than since July. A lot of labor issues on their behalf. There was an agreement that was put in place real close to Christmas last year with their unions and negotiations with that. But long story short, they wanted to get out of flagging services. So anytime that you are operating under railroad property, within railroad property, you have to have a flagger that monitors track and says, okay, here comes a train, you guys need to clear the track. So those are called protective services in their language. They have traditionally, for as long as maybe I've been alive and know how to do this stuff, but they have always done flagging services themselves. They've gotten out of that business. They're now going to be contracting that out to two entities right now. I'm sure there'll be more that get added to the list. But there's two entities that are qualified protective services contractors in the country. So our job is to get in line with those entities and, of course, secure protective services. So what this, long story short, what this agreement does is modify all the language where that shows up, that they are responsible for protective services and that burden shifts to us. Okay. So it is a reduction in cost, as the mayor suggested. In the original agreement, if you care to look through it, it's about $50,000 for what they were anticipating those services to cost. That line item is now zero, but we'll say, well, why isn't our construction agreement $50,000 less? And of course, they took the opportunity to review the force account estimate, which is the materials and the signal and everything else that we're doing to upgrade that. And with inflation, those costs have gone up as well. So
imagine that.
So you have a modified amount there. $633,000 is the estimated cost. We do not believe it's going to cost that much, but that's what the force account estimate is set up for. So slight reduction, but the main thing is protective services are falling back on us. So you will see that in a project change order with our contractor, Mosher, that we'll have to come up with those services. We're still working through that process.
So we know what those are going to cost?
I actually think, maybe I'm naive, maybe I'm crossing my fingers, I think they'll be less, because I'm thinking you'll have more control over when those services are needed.
Two dudes sitting in the chair for 4 months?
You're driven by railroad projects. So in the car, they said. So I'm hoping we have a little more control over that. In charge of
the I did hear a train go through over the weekend.
We get one a week. Sorry, so, hoping we have some stuff. Well, that's the change in the agreement. Obviously, our office recommends we move forward with the approval agreement.
All right, we do have ordinance number 39-2023 to enact this change. The Streets Committee Chairman is not with us this evening, so I'm going to go through the members of the Street Committee, starting with Mr. Hano to read this one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 39-20. All members having copies of it by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into a construction agreement amendment with Norfolk Southern Railway Company relative to the Monroe and Silica Improvement Project. And I move adoption of ordinance number 39-23 as an emergency measure.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 39-2023 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 39-2023 is enacted as an emergency measure. As you can imagine, when I'm out around town or even going to church on Sunday morning, I get a lot of questions about the Monroe Street construction and Silica Bridge project. But a close second has been the rail crossing on Brent Road and the collapsing rubber spacers on the westbound traffic. I got that three times Sunday morning. We have been at work with that and trying to get the railroad company out here for at least a year to fix that. Today I ordered the service department to see what they can do on their own. I know it's railroad property, but at least they would put some asphalt or scrabble or something in there. People are going to start breaking rims, having flat tires and the like if we don't take care of that one pretty soon. You have to swerve north or south to miss it. You'd think that having a $633,000 contract with Norfolk Southern would help us. It has not. We'll see what we can get done there.
The responsible railroad.
One of my best stories about this one is we've had complaints about the silica or the convent road crossing, and we had lots of trouble getting that done. The sister in charge at the time asked me about it. I said, well, we're trying to do it, and she made a call, and it got done. So you know where the real authority in this community lies. But we'll keep trying on Brent Road. That one, people are in my ear about that one. Okay, moving on to agenda item 10. Yes, we've had an easy winter. Haven't spread a whole lot of salt. However, that's true of everybody in the region. The service director is expecting lower rock salt prices this year. He's evaluated the space we have available and is recommending that we purchase 1,000 tons of rock salt in this current cycle in anticipation of those lower prices. If we have another mild winter next year, we won't have space for much of anything. And I think this is a prudent step to take. Did I say that appropriately, Joe?
Yeah, perfectly. Like I said, 1,000 tons is what we've asked for this year. It's just so you guys have a scale of numbers. Last year we asked for 2,000 tons. This is half of what we asked for last year. Last year's price was $53.65 a ton. We're anticipating hopefully that's lower this year just because demand isn't going to be there for it. So
we're going to shoot for rock bottom prices, Joe?
I
couldn't resist.
$53.65 puts us at the second highest we've ever paid for it. The highest was in 2015 and 16 and 57.04. The lowest.
They were importing salt from Spain right. That year.
Yeah, it was garbage too. It was full of sand.
Yep.
I was in Detroit a week ago, and coming back on I-75, I looked out to the west from that big I-75 bridge. There's a very large pile of salt sitting there just south of downtown Detroit. All right, we do have an ordinance for this one prepared. Ordinance 40-2023 to authorize that 1,000-ton purchase. And looking to Mr. McCann to read this one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 40-2023, authorizing the mayor and director of finance with the city of Sylvania, Ohio, to enter into an agreement with the Ohio Department of Transportation for the purchase of roadway de-icing salt. I move for passage of ordinance number 40-2023 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 40-2023 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 40-2023 is enacted as an emergency measure. Agenda item 11. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, but we do have the final report of the design study for the downtown transportation streetscape project has been prepared, and to stay on schedule, it's time to start looking for the actual engineering firm for the final design and construction documents. What's the steps that we take in this, Joe?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, so according to the revised code, the contract price for this is obviously going to be more than what we just did in preliminary engineering, so we need to do the formal letter of interest request, solicit for teams that are interested to do the final design project. So this is the formal step. We move forward. We have a letter of interest period that lasts about 3 weeks. We accept proposals from teams. Kenny and I will score rank, select the most qualified team to move forward with, and then we go into the scope and fee negotiation portion of the process. So all said and done, we are hoping to have a team ready to go by June this year, and that gives us about a year to a 15-month window to fully design the improvement.
And bid. And encumber the ARPA funds.
Correct.
Speaking of funds, if you recall, we have about $2 million worth of American Recovery Plan Act funds. We've enacted a TIF in the downtown, which might raise $700, possibly $1 million, which brings us up to about 50% of the total estimated cost of this project. Those of you that have reviewed the documents know that the estimate is $6.1 million, and that does not include burying the electric lines in the north block of Main Street. Toledo Edison is reticent to even give us a budget estimate for that. Mr. Aller is somewhere between $500,000 to $1 million to do that. But I am first concerned about this difference between funds available and estimated cost. I'm sure that the initial engineer has been very conservative, meaning very high in his cost estimates. But costs are exploding out there right now. There's just no doubt about it. And City Council and the administration will need to work together to find the funds necessary for this project or to surgically remove scope of project to find a way to get this done. This is too important of a project to slow down. We want to make it happen. Obviously, there's an awful lot going on in our capital improvement fund right now. And in 2025, when the construction is expected, we've been planning for years for the $3 million of local funds necessary for the US 23 interchange project. To do another $3 million would take our capital improvement fund down from its current, what, about $12 million?
Currently, we're at $15 million.
But a lot of that's already encumbered.
Yeah.
It's got about $12 million clear, and so we're going to need to think about whether that's where we put the funds. Mr. Aller and Joe have been thinking about other grant programs, but those are hard to come by for this kind of a project. We'll continue to do, and the service department does a wonderful job looking for grant funds, but it's going to take some direction from City Council as we want to get the design started for the project, the construction documents started. We need to give them the scope of work. We don't want to design a whole lot that we can't build. We can set up alternates in the bidding. Another possibility is to set up a assessment for the downtown property owners. That's something that I would want to do. There were assessments done back in the 1980s for the previous project, and there were grant funds that were given for facade improvements downtown at the same time. I have Mr. Stanford calling up other communities that have gone through a similar downtown streetscape improvement to see what the norm might be. We're going to give you all the information we can, but this is a question that we're going to have to address in the next 6 months or so, unless you want us to really cut it down to $3 million, which I hope you don't. Bidding alternates are one way to look at it, though. With that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would also like us to look hard at bonding some portion of this.
That is another possibility, yes.
And I know interest rates are up, but I'd like to know what those costs are. And.
This is a sizable enough project that we, it would make sense to do that.
And this will have a long-term impact that would be appropriate to share over generations.
We also need to prepare ourselves to get back into the neighborhood street repaving program, which we have not been doing a lot on for the last 3 or 4 years with all these other projects going on. We are going to have to tackle that one coming up pretty soon. But as you're aware, Mr. Schreier has been working to pay down our bonded debt in 2034?
33.
33, I was close. But there's a bump that happens, I believe, in 2027. It gets us down to a lower level. All that needs to be done might take a meeting of the Finance Committee. This is not a rushed decision to be made, but it needs to be a considered decision how we're going to handle this. Service departments did a great job funding a lot of these jobs, but the COVID money is running a little low at the moment, unless you're Toledo or Lucas County. They got plenty. Toledo's looking for $900 million over their sewer plant. And it makes the $174 million they got of ARPA funds small. I've been asked, why don't they put that money for it? Well, that would be a little chunk of it and a perfectly appropriate expenditure. And that was 5.5 times per capita than what the city of Sylvania received in ARPA funds. All right. So what I need is a motion authorizing that we seek engineering consultant letters of interest for the downtown transportation improvement project. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we authorize the service department to request final design engineering consultant letters of interest for the downtown transportation improvement project.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So proceed, Mr. Shaw.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here tonight and helping us out. That brings us to the second page of our agenda. Agenda item 12 is committee reports. Are there any committee reports to be made at this time? Or agenda item 13, committee referrals? Hearing none, that brings us to the end of our agenda. We have no information items for you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until our next regular meeting in 2 weeks on Monday, May the 1st at 7:30 p.m. in these council chambers. Thank you all for attending.